Everybody said,
amen
and amen. You know, this is the statement that I'm going to make. I make this statement not with gladness in my heart, not with joy, but I believe it to be very, very true, unfortunately, that most sincere Christendom, and I mean sincere in that they were genuinely born again, genuinely entered into a relationship with God. How many of you know you can't have a relationship with God until you're born again?
Amen. Amen.
That scripture still applies. I know much of the world or the church world doesn't want to embrace that, but that scripture still applies when Jesus said that to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again.
Amen.
Born from above.
Yes.
And referring to genuine believers who really have that sincere, genuine experience with the Lord, that somewhere down the line and somewhere down the road, we leave our first love. It happens very gradually. It's not like we just all of a sudden one day we just make a decision that we're not going to love Jesus anymore. We're not going to walk with him anymore. But I believe that it is a very gradual thing that takes place. And little by little, as we stray away from that first love, our walk becomes mechanical. We know the things to say. We know the things to do. We know the Christian verbiage. We know the Christian disciplines. We know how many times to go to church, whatever that is for you, whether it be once a week, twice a week, three times a week. But sadly, I think many and most Christians are walking around not with a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about living with that same expectancy, that same desire, that same love for Jesus Christ that you had when you got saved.
Amen.
I want you just for a moment just to recall that moment. And I'm just going to assume, and I don't know, and God only knows your heart, but I'm going to assume that everyone in here has had a genuine born-again experience with the Lord. And I want you just to reflect upon that and just remember how precious that was, how real that was. I still remember my born-again experience 30-plus years ago, almost 33 years ago, June 22nd, 1985. I was in an Air Force base, or at an Air Force base in Belgium, Florence, Belgium. And some brothers that I worked with, some Christians, they had witnessed to me. And I don't want to go into the detail, I said yes to Jesus Christ. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was born again. I mean, I knew from that moment, June 22nd, it was sometime between 6 and 7 o'clock in the evening. That would have been Belgium time. That I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I felt the weight of sin lift off my shoulders. I sensed the presence of God. My life changed from that moment forward. I was in the military, and in the military, you develop a dirty mouth in the military. I mean, every other word is a bad word. And I remember when I was born again, my language changed, my outlook on life. It's like the sky was bluer, everything was just fresh. And I knew that I was born again. I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
But as time went on, I can even honestly tell you that for the most part that I always had a love for Jesus. But even with that, I began to notice that my Christianity became somewhat mechanical. I began to depend more on the Christian disciplines and the things that Christians do more so than on that simple faith that I had to get saved, that faith to live in relationship with God. I had strayed away from that, not really understanding what had happened to me. And most Christians, they fall into that category. When we look at this church here that Jesus addressed here, the church of Ephesus, we see that there were many good things regarding this church. If you would have looked at this church with the natural eye, you would have thought, man, this church has got it going on.
Right.
I mean, they're laboring. They had discernment. They recognized those who were false. They did all the right things as we looked at here. They had patience for his name's sake. He knew their works, their labor, that it was good, and they couldn't bear them that were evil. They had tried them which say that they were apostles and are not, and found them to be liars. The church stood up for what was right, respective of the price. They knew they had all of the outward earmarks and markings of a church that was really on fire for God, but yet Jesus says this, "I have somewhat against thee." And I wonder how many Christians today, when God looks at us, he sees, yes, a lot of good things and good traits and good qualities. You've developed a system of morality, of do-goodism, what I call, you know all the things to do as a Christian. But does the Lord look at you and say, "I have somewhat against thee"? That zeal, that fire, that desire that you had for the Lord. I remember as a brand new Christian laying on my bed at night and praising God and feeling the presence of God and tears flowing down my face. All I knew is that Jesus loved me.
Amen.
That's all that I knew.
Yes.
That he died for me on the cross.
Yes.
That he shed his blood for me and that he loved me enough. That's one verse that I did know and memorized very quickly. It's John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son."
Amen.
And I was one who believed on him and I knew that I was born again. And what a glorious thing that it was. Much of God's church, I'm afraid that he looks at and says that you have left your first love. I want us to look at a few things that can help us to maintain that first love. I'm going to try to do this as quickly as possible. I don't want to keep you long. But turn your Bibles over to Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. The Bible says this. I'm going to begin in verse 5. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Notice that statement. The steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And then verse 6, he says this, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Notice that statement right there. "As you have therefore received," excuse me, "Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." That is a very important passage of scripture regarding you as a believer who has been saved over a period of time, you walking in what you first experienced when you got born again. You know, I happen to believe this truth here, that you as a believer, I don't care how long that you have been saved, whether it be 5 years, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, that you can walk in and you can experience the same passion, the same love, the same desire that you had the day that you were born again.
Amen.
You know, I remember hearing a lot of people say after I've been saved a while, "Well, brother, when I was a young Christian, they said, "Well, you're excited now, but after a while, you just watch. After a while, you're just going to kind of dwindle away your excitement and your desire," because it had with them. And I just kind of accepted that as, "Well, I guess that's the norm. I guess that's just the way." It doesn't have to be that way. And it shouldn't be that way.
No.
All right? Because if we walk in him the way that we received him, let's look at that for a moment. How did you receive Christ? We go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You don't have to turn there. Most of you would have it memorized. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this, "Not by works of righteousness, but according to," or "not by works, but according to grace are you saved."
Amen.
Amen. You are saved according to the grace of God.
Amen.
"For by grace have you been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's the way you were saved. And now the exhortation by Paul is this: as you received him by grace through faith, now walk the same way.
Amen.
Walk in the same faith.
Amen.
experience that same grace of God and the faith that you had toward Him and what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. That's one of the first keys to you maintaining your first love.
Amen.
Realizing that you, as you received Him by grace, you didn't receive Him by works. You didn't receive Him because of what you did. You didn't receive Him because you were a good person or because you went to church. You just, in a very humble manner, you kneeled at the foot of the cross. You recognize that you are a sinner in need, and you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life.
Yes.
And it was simple faith.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
And you began to, you experienced the saving grace of God Almighty. Same. And what God requires of you and me is that we walk in that same faith and that same grace that we experienced when we were born again.
Amen.
And if you'll do that, then you will experience that same zeal, that same excitement, that same passion. What happens to you when you go to church now, being saved for however long, 10, 20, 30 years, when the musicians, the singers, the worship begins, and the Spirit of God begins to move? Is there something in you that rises up and you want to lift up holy hands before your God, and you want to praise Him? You want to give Him the glory that is due. What is it that goes
Hallelujah.
Through your mind and heart and through your spirit when that happens?
Amen. Sure.
Or do you just kind of stand there and just sort of at a loss, not really knowing what's going on? You weren't like that when you first got saved. All somebody had to do was say the name Jesus. Remember that? I remember that. My goodness. You just said the name. I about had a Pentecostal fit. You just mentioned the blood of Jesus, and man, I went crazy. There was that zeal, that excitement, that passion. You don't have to lose that. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, now walk ye in Him. That word walk means it refers to your lifestyle. It means to your occupation. All right? Walk in Him. All right? And then He would say this in verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him. And established in the faith. Rooted and built up in Him. Established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein. With thanksgiving. He's talking about abounding in the faith.
See.
All right.
Amen.
As you received Him, now continue to abound in the faith. Continue rooted in Him.
Amen.
Built up in Him, grounded in Him, established in Him.
Amen.
In the faith. This is what Paul spent most of his time doing in encouraging and exhorting these believers, is for them to maintain the faith that they had and that they began with. Don't let the legalist, don't let the legalist steal away your faith. Amen. Don't let your flesh and your carnality and your own way, don't let that rob you. Don't let that stray you away from the faith.
Amen.
Maintain your faith in what Christ did on the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
That same faith Hallelujah. That got you saved is the same faith that will keep you in and keep you on that right path.
That's yes, right.
Rooted,
yes.
Built up in
faith, Amen.
Established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein. That word abounding, it means to excel and to increase. All right, increase in the grow in that relation, grow in that simple relationship, that grace, that faith. I think it was Peter who talked about that. Growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? Or are you growing in the ways of the philosophy of the church and the philosophies of men? That's contrary to Christ and the blood that He shed on the cross. What are you growing in? If you've left your first love and that same passion and zeal, you're probably straight off the path. What's the path? Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Who He is, what He did, the faith, what He did on the cross of Calvary. And you know, I'm not dealing with this, but in verse 8, Paul would say, beware lest any man spoil you. This is what's happening in the church today, folks. as Christians are getting spoiled through philosophy. Again, Christianity has just become this book has just become a philosophy. This book is never meant to just be a philosophy for morality and clean living. This book all testifies of the cross, of Calvary, of the blood, of the sacrifice, of the way,
amen,
of the
Lord.
Relationship with God.
Amen. Yes.
It was never meant for preachers to stand behind pulpits and just read it as a philosophical way of life. So that you can do better, so that you can be better. No. This book was written and is here for you, for you to have a relationship
yes.
with God.
Yes. Amen.
Through the Lord Jesus
yes,
Christ.
Lord. So, hallelujah.
As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in. And that's the first thing that you have to understand. All right. You received him by grace through faith. This is very simple.
Yes.
And now just continue to walk.
Amen.
That word walk means to tread all around. It means, you know, again, your pattern, your lifestyle, the way that you conduct yourself, your walk, your everyday walk, living in that exciting relationship with him. I want us to look at, flip back to Romans. I want to look at something, some passages that you probably never looked at them this way before, but I believe that the Lord opened this up to me. Very familiar passages, in fact, very possibly the person who led you to Christ probably very well used these passages. They would be referred to passages that that we make reference to the Roman road. You ever heard of the Roman road? Roman road to salvation or whatever. Certain steps to salvation, so on and so forth. But I want us to look at this a little and kind of expand on it, expound on it a little bit more. Romans chapter 10 and verse 6, it says this, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith." That actually should read the word of the faith. The word of the faith which we preach. And these are the passages that you'd be familiar with. "That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus,
amen,
and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Hallelujah.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation."
Amen.
You see, if you have not believed in your heart, and you have not confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you are not saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're not saved.
Amen.
Now this is a problem that we have with this passage of Scripture here, is most Christians, once they get saved, they park this back in the back parking lot somewhere. And they don't even deal with it anymore. But the Lord just began to deal with me regarding this when I was, sensing a certain subject that he wanted me to deal with. And I began to research, and what I found out was this, that the Greek implication is that of a continuous action. All right? What does that mean? That means that this believing and this confessing was not supposed to end when you were born again. It is something that is supposed to continue. You see, because you were saved, yes, you had a born-again experience, but you are continuing to be saved.
Hallelujah.
In other words, referring to sanctification. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You're saved and you're being saved. We've heard that before, right? You're born again. What happens with most is what we do is we depend upon our experience that we had, however long ago it was, and we don't, on a day-by-day basis, continue to walk in it. You see, you have to continue to believe and continue to confess. You You see, when you come to church and you worship God, that's your opportunity to confess.
Amen.
Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Jesus, I pray. If you can't open your mouth and praise God, my friend, you better examine yourself and see whether you be in the faith. There's something wrong with your believer.
Amen. Amen.
The problem in the church is we have a lot of unbelieving believers.
Yes.
Oh, they claim the name. They have the name Christian, but are you a believer? You know, the definition of a true believer is a biblical believer. See, we think believing is, well, we just acquiesce to a truth. If we acquiesce to the fact that there is a God, if we acquiesce or consent to the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins, if we acquiesce to that, if we even acquiesce to this fact that Jesus died for my sins, you can make that statement and still not be a believer.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because the definition of a believer is this. It's to entrust your spiritual well-being to Christ for provision, for performance, and for care. If you look up the word believe in the Greek, it'll say this. It will say to entrust one's spiritual well-being to Christ. And what I did is I took that a little further and I looked up the definition of the word entrust. And what the word entrust means, it means to give oneself over to another for provision, for care, and for performance. So this is the whole summation of this. You're not really a believer and acting like a believer until you've given your life over to Him for everything.
Amen.
Paul said it this way, present yourselves to God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him.
Amen.
He said, yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive. Jesus said, lose your life.
Yes, Lord.
If you want to find His life.
Amen.
That's a believer.
See.
It's not you just acquiescing to a truth or believe it. You stop 100 people out on the street and ask them, do you believe? Oh, yeah, I believe in God.
Right.
Don't make them a believer.
Right. Have you given yourself over to this thing?
Hallelujah.
Or are you depending upon that experience that you had 30 years ago? Yeah, I was born again 30 years ago. Where are you today?
Right.
Where are you today?
Faith.
You see, you can lose your way. I don't believe in unconditional eternal security. It is not scriptural. But I do believe in conditional eternal security. What's the condition? That you maintain continually.
Yes.
Amen. Faith in Christ and what He did on the cross.
Amen.
So this believing and this confessing needs to be a continual thing that you live by daily.
Yes, amen.
Best thing you can do is get up in the morning or any time during the day, but usually if you don't do it in the morning, you're not going to do it. I know I'm going to make some of you mad here, but you need to have a prayer life.
Yes.
You need to take some time and do what Jesus said to do. Jesus said it was a command and not a suggestion.
Right.
All right? He said, get in your closet, shut the door, and pray to your Heavenly Father in secret, and He will reward you openly.
Amen.
The best thing you can do is get in your prayer closet on a daily basis with faith and believing Him for who He is and what He did for you on the cross, and now begin to confess His name.
Yes.
See, it takes faith, my friend. You go into a room by yourself and open your mouth and talk to a God that you can't see.
Right.
And you start saying, Lord, I love you.
Amen.
Father, I thank you that you gave your Son for me. I thank you that I can call you my Heavenly Father by virtue of the blood of your dear Son. Father, I thank you that I am adopted into your family and I cry out to you, Abba, Father, Daddy.
Yes, yes, yes.
Be loud like I am right now. I'm expressing faith.
Say,
Father, I hallow your name.
Amen.
I thank you for who you are to me. Your word says that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I praise you and I thank you that I am righteous because of you and the blood that you shed.
See.
You're my sanctifier. Your name is Jehovah Makedesh. You're my peace. Father, I thank you and I praise you, for your name is Jehovah Shalom. Jesus, because of what you did on the cross, the blood that you shed, you are my peace. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise your name.
Amen, Lord. Yes.
Hallelujah. You can have that in your prayer closet and in your everyday life.
Amen. Yes.
You got to keep believing and keep confessing.
See?
You see, because there's been such an abuse with the confession principle by the so-called Word of Faith preachers, and they've taken it to a level that is not scriptural, that what we do now is we totally negate it. We say, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't believe in confession. Confession is scriptural. But the challenge is confessing what the Word of God says, not you creating something within yourself and saying, by the words that I say, I can create. You're not a creator. God is the only creator. Amen. And where your confession comes in is that you line up with the promises in His Word and you believe them and you confess them.
See.
Lord, you're my healer.
Amen.
I praise you, Father, for your name. You know what the Hebrew name for God is as healer? Jehovah Rapha.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you that you're my healer. I thank you, Lord, that you're my victory banner. Your name is Jehovah Nissi. And I confess you, Lord, as my banner.
Hallelujah.
You do that, get in your prayer closet, my friend. By the time you leave that prayer closet, you'll be running through a troop and jumping over that. And you'll be walking in the presence of God and the power of God.
Amen.
You'll be experiencing that first love. That relationship will be rekindled. You'll be walking in it. Amen.
Amen.
That same one that you had when you were born again. But you got to keep believing. You got to keep confessing. You know, It irks me to no end when people come into God's house, the church, and they come into church, and they're just, you can tell they're just doing their duty. They're just wanting, you know, just give me a little blessing, you know, whatever, make me feel good. And they come into the house of God, and they don't come ready to worship. They don't come full of faith. They don't come believing. They don't come ready. As soon as that first song sparks up, you ought to have a river flowing in you. Amen? And you're ready to lift up your hands. You're ready to believe. You're ready to confess His name. You're ready to give Him the glory that is due unto His name.
See.
Come to church, they're not physically like this. They're spiritually, they just kind of have their arms crossed. They have their lips sealed shut. God forbid that I would, you know, say anything. That's your time, man. Gather with God. People of like precious faith.
Amen.
That's your opportunity, my friend, to worship God. You know how the glory cloud is created in the midst of an assembly? It's when God's people gather together who are full of the Spirit of God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And you begin to believe and open your mouth.
Amen.
We're sitting around saying, God, I wish you would do something. I wish you would move. I wish we would experience the glory. It's up to you.
Amen.
Do you not know that you are the temples of the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
And the Spirit of God lives in you.
Yes.
He's not in this building. He's in you.
See? Amen.
God manifests Himself through you. Said this many times, but you know, God is up in heaven, I believe. He's looking down at us, and we're saying to Him, God, I wish you'd move, and God's looking at you saying, I wish you'd move. Meaning, I wish you would respond in faith. I wish you'd get full of the Holy Ghost. I wish you'd really start. I believe He's saying to you, remember how you were when you got saved.
Come on.
Remember how you were when you got born again. And you couldn't praise me enough. Well, you need to do that again. That's how the glory of the Lord fills an assembly. You know, in the book of Acts, when there's a place in the book of Acts where it says, when they prayed, the place was shaken. You know why it was shaken? There was such a rumble. God's people gathering together, crying out to God. I've been to some prayer meetings where there was a rumble, my friend. where people were desperate and crying out to God and seeking God and praising their God. And there began a rumble within them. I don't think it was an external earthquake. I think it was the people of God, full of the glory and full of the power and the presence of God Almighty.
Yes, yes.
We're desperate for Him and crying out to Him.
Amen.
And God move. It's up to you, my friend. You want a move of God in your life, in your family, in your children, in your church, in our nation. If my people,
hallelujah,
which are called by my name,
amen,
will humble themselves, amen, and pray,
yes,
and seek my face.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to Jesus.
The problem is we're content with where we are and what we're doing. Candy store Christianity.
Good.
You gotta get desperate for God. It's up to you, folks. So this believing and this confessing needs to be a lifestyle. This walk, as you received Him, now walk ye in Him. It needs to become a lifestyle for you. And if you'll believe, if you'll confess, if you'll continue to walk in Him as you received Him by faith, and God will make Himself real to you and manifest His presence and His glory and His power,
yes,
in your life. Don't be satisfied, my friend, with the status quo. Don't be satisfied with no power of God and no move of the Spirit in your life. Don't be satisfied with it.
Hallelujah.
Be hungry. Be desperate.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Believe in your first love.
No.
And the sad thing is this has happened and most of us don't even know it. Because we've just gone through the motions for so long that we know just what to do and what to say, where to go, yet God has left us. And you know what? Let me just say this, going back to our text in Revelation. I'm going to close with this. I'm sorry I kept you longer than I wanted to. Revelation chapter 2. It says here in verse 6, well, continuing here in verse 5, it says, remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. What do you mean the first works? I believe that the first works there are works that are done by faith. Remember James, he put the two together. Show me your faith by your works. Show me your works by your faith. See, if you have true biblical faith, there's going to be works that are accomplished and works that are done. Not works of the flesh, but works of the Spirit. Do the first works. Or else, listen to this, and this applies not just to a church, but to an individual. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent.
See,
what needs to happen if you're in that boat is you need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
You need to recognize that you're in that situation.
Amen.
Say, Lord, this is what repentance means. I do an about face. I change my mind.
Yes.
I do an about face, and I make a decision that I'm going to go in the direction that you have laid out in your word. And the direction that he's laid out in his word is faith in the blood of Jesus Christ.
See.
That same faith that got you saved is the same faith that is meant to keep you
saved. Amen.
Do you want that tonight?
Amen.
Do you want that tonight?
Yes.
I'm not saying this to you in a demeaning manner or a condemning manner, but I'm challenging you. Do you really want that first love, that experience that you had?
Hallelujah.
God longs to rekindle that.
Yes.
Jesus. But you have to want it.
Yes.
You have to want it.
Amen.
You have to reestablish that relationship, make that decision. That is totally up to you. You can hear a message like this and just walk out those doors and just continue to go the way that you're going. Or you can hear a message like this and say, you know what?
Yes.
I feel in my heart.
Yes.
Maybe I'll be left.
Say.
Hallelujah.
You know, I don't believe that this means you're not saved. You can get to the place where you lose your salvation. But that's not what Christianity is all about. It's not just, it's not fire insurance, folks. It's a relationship.
Yes.
A relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And you don't have to lose what you have.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glorificado Jesús. Amen. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we love you tonight.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge of your word, Lord. Father, I just pray for these before me. I'm not trying to move them with emotion.